This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and oh no, I spent all this money fixing my sidewalk because I thought real men loved curbs. Huh? Huh? What are we doing?
Okay. An idiot.
I'm Brandi Posey, and Alexa, impeach the president.
Ooh.
I'm Tess Barker, and all my life I've only been pretending to like eggplant.
Oh my God.
Truth bombs.
This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Lady. I am Barbara Gray, and I also hate eggplant.
Right? So did you pretend like you liked it for a while?
No, I never did. Okay. I was always truthful.
I feel because of I'm a vegetarian, there's been a lot of pressure for me to like it, and I finally am living my truth.
They were like, yeah, eggplant parmesan. Sure, that's a thing.
And you know what? I'll take it over nothing.
Right.
But yeah, I had a realization this weekend that I just don't fucking like it.
Yeah, but if you can bread it and fry it and I still don't want it,
that's
I don't
right.
want it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's... Can we get our guest on here quickly so we can like get into this controversial?
Sorry to jump in, but I don't want to go in on her.
Yeah, now you're here.
She's
now
our fucking our fucking favorite person in the world, Karen Kilgariff.
Hi, everybody.
You know we're from the things.
So glad to be here with my ladies.
Karen, eggplant. What
hate
do you feel?
Hate it.
You
zucchini.
Hate it.
Can suck it. All squashes. Get away from me.
Yeah.
So
the squishy insides. Yeah. Get away from me.
I don't
and
like it.
Squishy and bitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I've had eggplant parm. And yeah, it's that thing of you still, once you get past the cheese and the fried and the breading, you still hit a squishy center.
Slimy.
Yes, it's a consistency and it's the actual taste of like the flesh. Like it's spunky. I just don't, it's slimy and spunky.
Which is funny because an eggplant emoji is a dish.
Hello.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not disgusting. A coincidence.
No.
It's rancid. Just fry a piece of cheese and put some marinara on that.
For real. Don't make me deal with
literally
this.
All I want every day, all day long.
What if you crushed up a bunch of sunflower seeds and then went from there?
Okay, so sunflower, I make the patty out of sunflower seeds?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get creative of how you can fill...
I've had a good nut burger.
I know you've had many good nut burger stuff.
That's what she said.
Nut burger, nut burger. Not a nothing burger.
A nut burger.
Yeah, I've never had a nut burger.
They're great. You haven't?
Maybe. I'm sure I have in the grand scheme of my vegetarianism.
Wait, are you talking about a Reese's peanut butter cup?
Yes.
I've had
those.
Pieces of bread.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how overwhelming the Reese's section is of a 7-Eleven now?
They are really going
to tone it down.
Too many.
It's like Reese's and M&M's are going head to head.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then somewhere in the background, Triscuits are trying to compete.
Triscuits and Ruffles.
And
are like
Oreos.
Yes.
Oreos are really having a midlife crisis.
They're having a major midlife crisis, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't fall for their trickery.
Oh,
I mean, give me a novelty Oreo. What I would like is like a Valentine's Day heart box, but instead of chocolates, give me each weird Oreo.
Assorted Oreos.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely. Right? That I can get behind.
That's a good idea. One box with all, so you don't have to go around getting entire containers
of
weird flavors you might not like.
Because we only want to try one.
Yeah.
There's a maple syrup and waffles one that I just saw the other day, and I was like, just go chicken and waffles. Go all the way.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not
why aren't you putting out variety packs?
Wait, you guys, heads up. Yeah. I just figured this out because as we're talking, I'm like, and the problem for me is because I like to smoke pot and I just can't be, I will eat all of them. Like that's exactly what I want when I'm stoned.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if there's a relationship.
Yeah, they want you to buy all the kinds.
Between the proliferation of these weird flavors and legal marijuana.
Hell yes.
Right?
There's a think piece.
There's people that are like, I need I need a Triscuit, but I also need red peppers and some sort of Thai food.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that, like, just really letting your imagination run wild.
Yes. Yeah. My favorite thing is to, I love reading the recipes on the back of, like, Triscuits. Boxes and
the
stuff,
suggested
as
recipe.
Though they think I'm like gonna shave up some pepper and like serve it up on a Triscuit for a party.
Slice a green olive, right. Real
like,
small.
Can you imagine doing this?
If I came to your house and you had done that, I don't think we could be friends anymore.
My favorite, I think I've talked. It's been a long time, but I think I talked about this on the back of a Ruffles bag once. I found a recipe they had written where they were like, "Here, chocolate covered Ruffles, melt a bunch of." Chocolate chips and then dump in the Ruffles and then there you go. And
oh. I was like, again, that sounds awesome.
It sounds great, but it's not a recipe.
Like, yeah. That's recipes. Like just combining two things.
Yeah.
It's not a recipe.
Yeah. Recipe is three ingredients or more, right?
I think so.
I think that's where a recipe would
start. I guess
start.
It's a recipe.
It has to fill up at least half an index card to qualify as a recipe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
More than two steps and more than three ingredients, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I have a recipe for water. Put some ice in it.
That is the best way to have water.
You put some frozen water.
Oh my
in
god,
some water.
We should have done the water tasty taste test on this one.
Oh, god damn it.
We're gonna do like a closed, you know, see if we can tell the difference between them.
Yeah.
Of all the different bottled water.
It'll be so exciting. Yeah.
A Dasani,
I
want to
do it.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person that would claim that I would be able to know the difference. That's what I'm like.
Same. What team are you? What's your water team?
Fiji.
Fiji?
Fiji is a good water.
I go for Fiji. I'm positive it's the packaging.
Yeah. It is.
But it tastes better.
It's the packaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like Evian at all.
I don't like it either.
It tastes like it has, that someone soaked a little bit of change in it.
Yeah. I agree, but that's what I like about it. Like, it's very minerally. This is the douchiest thing I've ever said. My favorite is smart
feels
water,
like I'm
though.
Drinking gold.
She loves gold.
Do you guys know why I started to like Evian? Is because remember in Reality Bites when they're like, Evian backwards is naive. I was like, well, get me some of that. I totally
really
missed the joke.
Oh, I'm so ashamed. Yeah. I'm so ashamed of being Generation X right now. That's the worst.
It's funny because Fiji, they have the square. They're like one of the only people that has a square bottle. But there's like Icelandic water that also has a square bottle, but it's thinner. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you guys fucked up because like that's not a grabbable
bottle.
Well,
Fiji has
like the grabbable.
And the confidence of, I know I won't fit in your cup holder, but you're still going to buy me.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the confidence that Fiji brings to the table. And I respect that.
Also that bottle says stare through me and into this Fijian oasis that it draws on the back.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That it feels like you're kind of buying art. A little bit.
They did nail it with the art. I have to agree with you. I think that's also what I like about smart water is the little goldfish on the other side.
Oh, that you can see
through
it.
Yeah.
Right.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, they put a goldfish on the other
label. God,
label.
Packaging really works on me. It's horrible.
Yeah, it does. Too. I love packaging.
It it's absolutely.
Makeup, get the fuck out of here with your cute packaging. I'm dead.
I'm telling you, if somebody would be smart enough to make a stain in a crayon shape, they would make $1 billion. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Not a gloss, but a stain.
Yes. Somebody has that.
Think so?
Yeah.
I do some Googling.
I don't know. Stella?
Stella? Is it Stilla or Stila?
Stilla?
Stilla?
Stilla.
Stilla.
I don't know, actually. I thought it was Stilla.
It probably is. I don't know.
Is it it's Stila.
Is it a makeup brand? I don't know that one.
Yes.
Okay.
They're the ones who I bought. I bought my, like, remember when I was, like, really into Home Shopping Network for a little bit?
Yes.
Yes, Barbara. Yeah, it's one of Barbara's money phases.
Yeah, I've been through.
And like, this is way after online shopping was a thing.
Oh, yeah. But I just like was, I think it's just like I had cable and I had access to like 12 channels and I was still smoking weed. It all comes together.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, I can really get like a palette of eyeshadow and I can pay $12 a month for it.
Were you signed up forever? Like you couldn't get
unsigned? No, it was just the one thing. But it was kind of nice because I was like, this is so expensive. You know, that like nice makeup was expensive and I still use it.
You know what? I've used that palette and I'm glad you bought it.
Thank you.
That was a good investment. It has every color.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
When I went to college in Philly, all of the QVC hosts, they audition for student films all the time. So the magic was broken for me pretty much immediately.
Oh,
I never got into it.
I mean,
because I'd come in and they'd be like, "Yeah, I'll read your thing, 18-year-old. I desperately want to not sell scarves online.
But the competitiveness between those hosts must be so intense.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and they'll do anything for screen time. It's really intense. It's
also
weird.
the ability to talk continually about a thing that there's not that much to say about it, I really respect and admire. Have you guys watched the one that's Knives? It's on late at night.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
What's it called? Yeah. I think it's Knife Show or something.
The one that
like
cuts
that.
The pennies? Penny knife?
No, it's one guy and he stands next to a rotating... It's like a guy from the county fair expo hall where it's like a rotating thing. And then he's just like, you got to get these knives. And he just talks for like an hour.
It's really mesmerizing.
Yeah.
That was like the original ASMR video, I think, was like watching infomercials. Like it really is great for insomnia because it is kind of just like soothing. You don't have to think too much because they are saying the same thing. And then they've got those fun tricks with the pennies and the what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marketplace actually did a thing on those fair pitch guys yesterday that I thought was really interesting because actually they are like so good at selling things. Like anyone I think can learn a lot from that. Like if you're in the business of selling anything, I think you can learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
Because their pitch has to be so good because no one comes to the fair to get a mop.
Right. Exactly.
No. It's like, how do you get their attention? How do you keep them? Then how do you close the deal? And like, it was really
interesting. I mean, we've done 5 years of podcasting, so I think we have experience with talking about nothing for an hour.
Now we got to put a product in your hands.
And then, yes, please.
Then live shows.
Yes. Just mopping at a live show.
Tell you, is this better than the live show you have at home? Let me tell. Would you use it?
Is your heart engaged right now? There's a reason it's racing so fast because this is the product for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm such a bad salesman. I'd be terrible at that because I'm like, you don't need this. It's fine. You don't need me. I'm not worthy of you. You don't need this.
You're like negging that around. Yourself. Yourself.
I'm like, no. It's fine.
Then like the codependent people in the audience would be like, wait, no, go ahead. We'll listen to you. Yeah. Then you've got your own.
That's true. They would want to take care of you.
Absolutely.
My favorite is the moms who stay home and call into these things. Who are like, Sharon, I just got 5 of those. And let me just tell you what, like, I can't wait for Christmas. And just like, what are you doing?
I love how the dude version of that is just sports talk radio, which I'm forced to listen to a lot, where guys are just like, I'm angry. What are they? They'll bitch about things that happened 10 years ago, like a bad decision a coach made. And it's just this misdirected anger about like things that aren't even pertinent to the current season.
Yeah.
Nope. There's just these men that just need to call someone and yell.
Yeah.
Well, because they have this categorical knowledge of a thing that doesn't really come into play unless you've called into a sports talk radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they really have to let it all out while they can because it's there and like the big wangs are the two places that stuff makes sense.
Exactly. And if you've given so much of your brain to that already, it's like you got to let it, you got to sieve it out a little bit every once in a while.
And you know what? Right. They have a rapt audience. Like there are people that want to listen to them call and yell. So I guess God bless them.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of their passion, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to call and yell at people about.
Yeah, I haven't memorized the numbers of anything ever.
I've retained nothing. I retain absolutely nothing. Yeah. So I don't understand. It's like Brendan does that. Like Sean's probably the same way where they just like have facts about shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how are you doing? Like, and it's that I don't understand.
I do know like what bar study? Bimbo Summit happened at. You know, like I know. Okay. Bimbo Summit is the night that Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears all hung out together.
Really?
Yeah.
And what bar was it at?
Winston.
Why haven't we gone there?
Bimbo Summit.
Amazing. It's amazing. I love it.
Shout out to Heather Jewett, past guest on the show, whose Twitter name is Bimbo Summit.
Hilarious writer.
Best she is so funny.
Twitter handle, yes.
Glad she grabbed that one.
Yes. Fellow Britney Spears advocate.
Speaking of Bimbo Summit, this is not a good segue. Quickly, because we've talked about this too much on the show before, but Karen did come with us to Magic Mike last time. So we have to hear your perspective. Because we weren't sure if you're going to like it.
Oh, I have a very interesting perspective.
Oh.
As the older lady in the group. who, at first unbeknownst to me, but then later announced to me.
Oh, right. You almost got
these young
up
ladies
there.
Tried to trick me into getting brought on stage.
Trick you?
Yes.
That's not a trick. That's a gift.
Yeah, that's a gift.
Well.
Not for Karen.
Kids. There's a reason I have my arms crossed all the time. I don't want to let anything in. So when Michelle, I was staying with Michelle Balloon. Yeah. We were the elder statesmen of the group. And we were...
doing the smart thing. Staying at the Hard Rock.
That's yeah. right. Yeah. Staying in the hotel.
Hey, look, the hotel didn't have a Groupon. Hooters did.
Yeah, that's fair.
Listen, the first time I went to Vegas, it was eight of us. Like, yeah. I laid on a hotel room floor at Circus Circus.
Oh, God.
And as I laid down, I was like...
How did you get back up and get stuck to it?
Right. I laid down on mushrooms, so I didn't think I was laying down. I remember putting my head down and just thinking, I hope it's not always like this. It's really nice that it's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Michelle and I were eating pot blueberries the entire time. So we were extensively high.
The kiva?
Yes.
Those are great.
They're amazing.
Perfect edible.
Because they're tiny amounts. So exactly. It's not, you can really measure it as you go. Mm-hmm. But we really stopped measuring after a while. And at one point, in a total paranoid, like, not paranoid, but like, Michelle's like, I need to tell you something. I'm afraid to tell you. I know you're going to get mad at me.
Oh, my God.
And she was just like, they put your name in to get called on stage tonight. And I told them I knew I wouldn't like it, so I didn't think you would like it, but I don't want to speak for you, but I wanted to tell you that. And I was just like, no, it's never going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. And so Michelle then texted Brandy, like, you can't
call
do
it. Yeah.
And then we get there. Well, this is the funniest thing about... So Brandy and I, probably 2 months before your birthday party, sat at the Astro Diner, and Brandy told me word for word everything that happened in that show.
Yeah.
And from that dinner, I was like, oh my God, I have to see this. This sounds amazing, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then when that was your birthday, it was like, I was so excited. It was the perfect opportunity to go actually see what was happening.
Yeah.
So when Michelle and I walked in, all I could hear was this guy host who was making jokes like, talking about how wet people's seats were and all the shit. And I was just like, hi. And I was just like, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know about this. And the more he talked, the more I was like, I don't know if I can stay in the room if that guy's going to be talking. And I was all in my head about it. And like, how am I going to be able to leave and all this shit? And then
you were mad at me.
And finally, at one point I looked down the thing. Oh, and also there was a girl standing next to us.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And she was, from the second she walked up, screaming and hooting and hollering at nothing. Yeah. Every joke this guy said, she was like, yeah, baby. And she was like, going for it. And I was standing there and I'm like, okay, I came to a strip show. I can't be like the total Daria in the back, like hating everything.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have fun. Mm-hmm. But the more that guy talked, at one point I just looked down at Brandy and I gave her this look like, I'm going to kill you. And she just, so brilliantly, she just put one finger up in the air at me like, hold on. And then like probably 30 seconds later is when the big change happened. Yeah. And then I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, she told me this was going to happen. And I still forgot.
It goes so long.
That's amazing.
You forget. Yes.
So
you don't
real. That guy that hosts is so fucking real.
Yeah.
They cast the perfect guy. He does it perfectly. His jeans are embroidered. Like, he is exactly
the details of that dude. Well, but you didn't forget, Barbara, because we had taken drugs, and Barbara just kept tapping. She's like, this is a joke.
I was like, and the whole time I was like, you guys, this isn't, and they're like, we know.
Don't anybody get upset. But it's the kind, what I found interesting was I was watching the people down on the floor, because we were on the second floor looking down, and you could see women laughing along and clapping because they knew they were
just
supposed
to. Okay,
that's
along and get along.
Exactly.
What are you going to do? You're in the show.
What are you going to do? And that's what women have been doing for 2,000 years, which is, oh, this obnoxious man has the mic and is leading the way. Fine. I'm just going to get drunk and have my own good time.
Yeah.
And the idea that they played on that is just beyond brilliant. It is so smart. And then the turn it makes and everything about what it addresses without, and it's like, it can be a tiny bit heavy-handed, but only in the way of just saying, ladies, get yours.
Yeah.
Get what you want.
Exactly.
Have it your own way. You don't have to accept this bullshit.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So when that part started, the girl next to me, and then they all started showing up, and when she was like, what about a guy that looks like he's in a band? And then that guy showed up with the long hair.
I love that guy.
Yeah. She screamed, that's my jam. That's my jam.
Yes.
And I was like, all right. And I'm like, you know, everything is a little sensitive and a little wow, because I'm high. And she turned to me and she goes, if I'm too loud or too much, you can just tell me to be quiet at any time. And I leaned over and in her ear, I go, I want you to have the best night of your life.
Yes.
And then she kissed me on the cheek and turned around and just started screaming at the top of her lungs for like an hour. Yes.
Also, do you know that she had just seen the 8 o'clock show?
She was so into it. Yes. But I love that she was the kind of person that was that into it and yet still was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, I know I'm a lot.
If I'm bumming you out, or to, no, this is the point. This is what we're all supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
Later, she bought us all waters, which was the cutest
thing. She bought us Fijis.
I know.
It all comes
back. A bunch of Fijis.
She passed them out like she was a first responder. It was hilarious.
It was necessary. I was like, oh, thank God.
You do work up a thirst in many ways.
Yeah. I just thought Jello shots, like no water in sight for hours. It was perfect timing.
So then... Basically, once that happened, the change occurred, and then the actual show started. I was rapt. Yeah. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was amazing. I loved all of it. Then, like halfway through, a guy came by me, slid his. A couple of them would run by and like tweak your waist or whatever. Which I was like, well, that's just cute. I mean, like,
it's just that's what it's all about.
They get the little details of like, that's what we want.
Yes, exactly. You don't want to talk. You don't want to like get your waist tweaked and then like, hey, where are you from? It's like, just kind of, it's like,
just a nice little touch.
I picked you goodbye.
Yeah, right.
So when the guy halfway through kind of ran his hand around my lower back and then slid around the other side and stuck his face right in the, right in the crook of my neck and goes, hey, are you Karen?
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
And I just kind of turned my head toward him just a little bit and I go, no, I'm not. And then his hand dropped and he was like, oh, okay. And then he just walked away. The whole act dropped and he was just like, oh, so okay, sorry.
He has not been said no. He has not had anyone deny. If no matter what your name is, usually anyone would be like, yes, I'm Karen as fuck.
I'm Karen as fuck. It's like, I know how this ends. Uh-huh. I've been around the block a time or two. I know how this ends. And the best was, so he goes back and I see him talking to Barbara. And Barbara's like nodding her head and pointing at me like, no, that's her.
I was the only one not on drugs. And I was like, no, she doesn't want, because I texted Lindsay.
Well, we knew.
Hey, let's,
we knew that she didn't want to get up. So I was confused because he was like, are you Karen? And I was like, I didn't know what to say.
You got also asked if you were Karen?
Yeah. Because I basically was like, oh, she said no. And I was like, Barbara's Karen. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Improv.
I had already been up, so I didn't want to go up again because I felt like somebody else in our group should go up. My friend Jaylene got to go up. Perfect.
Yeah, the perfect person. Because this is my point. I am a very Irish Catholic, very sexually repressed. Of course, I like it and it's fun to do, but it being in a public forum is very bizarre and very inappropriate and it's just not comfortable. It just seems weird. And what she did on stage, your friend, was so perfect because that it was like a girl that's embarrassed, but also so excited and kind of can't control how excited she is.
Yeah.
I would not have looked like that because even if as excited as I would have been, which isn't that much because ultimately it's a young dancer pretending he wants to fuck you, which is my nightmare. That's just like, I always think that's what's happening to me. So just like, I don't want to have it happen to me in front of everybody.
I get it. I get what you mean.
I just would have had to have crossed my arms.
I just love how many men spend their entire fortunes at strip clubs and you just broke down exactly what a strip club is. It's a young dancer. Are pretending they want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Like that's
all of it.
That's what it is.
I don't, I'm not interested.
I'll have to post some of the video of Jaylene because it was so cute. She like grabbed his butt and like,
it was
like an ant. It was like ant.
Yeah. She like grabbed his butt and then put her hands over her eyes like she had the best manicure in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Everything about it was every girl in that audience went, that's me.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was up there, I'd been like, why is my junior high principal on the stage right now? No fair.
You don't know that my friend just went for a bachelorette party and sent me a picture of like a grandma on the piano just like sitting there being played to. Yeah. Fucking incredible.
Oh nope, can't do it. I just want to. I actually had a conversation with my friend about this one time because she was playing. I was at this weird beer fest in like somewhere near Milwaukee, and her band was playing. So I just went to see her band because I'd never seen her before, and it was when I was working in Chicago. So I took the train up to see her, and I just, of course, not drinking has a huge is a huge part of it. But yeah. I was standing on the outside watching mm-hmm. and watching all these drunk people like doing weird dancing and, you know, yeah. flirting and all this stuff. And when I got backstage to talk to her, I was just like, sometimes I feel like an alien. I just am standing always on the outside observing and like kind of judging and watching people. And she goes, yeah, that's because you're a writer. And then I yeah. went, oh, yes, that's exactly it. Like, yeah. that's how my mind works. I want to see the big picture and assess it and mm-hmm. like sum it up or whatever. I'm not that interested in being in it because I know what in it looks like.
Yeah.
Right. It'd be a totally different thing if one of those guys came up after the show and slid his hand across the lower part of my back and said, are you Karen? I'd been like, fuck yes. Yeah. Let's have a conversation.
Here's my room key. Yes. Let's talk. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Michelle, I'll put a sock on the door.
But in that especially, yeah. it was like watching yeah. those women be given all this permission that they mm-hmm. probably a lot of them have never had before.
Yeah.
And then the way that dancing got so fucking dirty, it was like,
yeah,
it was some serious freaking, and everyone was so into it, and yeah. everyone felt great about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone mm-hmm. feels safe and yes. feel, it's just like yeah. such a, it's like a space I've never been in before.
It's mm-hmm. never
when you
existed
walk down
before.
Those stairs, yeah. it's, that's the thing. Just yeah. like, you're like, what am what? I, what's happening?
Yeah. Are we in New Orleans or something?
Yeah. It's yeah. like a Thunderdome for me.
Yeah.
Built for me.
Yes. And as we talked about, I think, mm-hmm. but that water dance at the end.
Oh,
the water
that's
dance.
My favorite part.
I would go to Vegas just to
that's
see that
part. That's the sexiest thing I've ever seen.
It's the sexiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. One of my friends was having started to have a little bit of a bad trip for a second. And like, it was near the end when that happens. And the like Nine Inch, and I was like, I was like, you have to stay. Like, I swear to God, you cannot leave right now. And she just sat down. And she was like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't fucking leave. I was like, you can't miss the water dance.
No. Water dance is
it's everything.
And for one second, I really did mm-hmm. think mm-hmm. that when that started, that it was what it pretended to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so. And then the second it started, I was like, oh my God, of course.
Yeah.
It's just the most, it's such good dancing.
It's
like,
so beautiful.
That's the art of it
so
is
hot.
So well executed.
Yes.
Because
yes.
yeah. it's like, of course the guys by themselves are hot, but then when you see them together, you're yes. like, oh fuck, like yeah, this is another yeah. level.
And it's choreographed perfectly to yes. the music.
And very representative of mm-hmm. like that kind of people getting together and going apart and yeah. then like the sex and then mm-hmm. it was all, I don't know, it was good.
And
was
it's
high,
also
but.
Like, it's like a consensual simulation too. You know, there's moments where she's going to him and like she's in charge and he's in charge and back
yes.
and forth. And it's like, we don't see porn like that. Like most porn is like not that representative.
I mean,
of like
the porn
everything.
That's geared toward us is essentially non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like a whole thing.
Yeah. That's like the best version of it I've ever seen. Like, oh wow, yeah. look at the agency and like everybody is happy at all times. Like yes. this is fucking great.
And I think that thing of, because I was also watching them, like, what if yeah. they mess up? Because they're in water.
Yeah.
So, like, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
It was perfection. Every mm-hmm. move, they didn't yeah. even, there wasn't even a slight.
No.
Slight anything. And so that meant both of them were paying so much attention to yeah. each other.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about it that was just incredibly magical
yeah.
to watch.
Absolutely.
It was so good.
I think the dancer has the best job I've ever seen. Like that, oh, that lady dancer. God. She does that twice a night, 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
It's the best job I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go to Juilliard.
It's not too late.
We're all gonna go train.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all gonna go train to be rain dancer.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Hey guys, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Karen Kilgariff.
Hey.
And we're going to play a special segment just for this show in honor of my favorite murder. It's called
Ba 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 Ba.
My favorite stuff.
That's my take on your theme song.
That was our. We haven't made a new theme song in so long that we're like, oh, we got this. We'll just make this on
you
the fly.
You just heard that. That was
That's
fresh.
Alive. That's alive.
That was a fresh one.
Do we have to do that bop it up, bop bop before we ask everyone? No.
No, I
kind of want
no.
to.
You do.
I mean, you can. It's a real Marty Ballstein from Ballstein from Zoolander move.
Yeah, yeah.
I
want trumpeters everywhere I go.
I think you should do it.
Truly.
It's fun.
I was talking about how I want more spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah. God, that's so sad that our current president, like you saying the word trumpet, I was like,
oh, yeah. yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's really triggering for ska bands.
Oh, I could see that.
ruined fucking First Wives Club for me because Ivana shows up at the end as the original first wife, like, you know, and I was just like trying for like 2 hours to be like, I'm going to escape. I'm just going to watch this movie and enjoy myself. And then I'm like,
well, the wives are kind of victims. We don't have to. I mean,
For sure.
Marla needs to break her mother.
But just, I just
NDA.
Mean a reminder of all of it was like.
Well, and also I remember when that movie came out, it was fucking groundbreaking. So that's the thing that I'm constantly in awe of is we are really making insane amounts of progress very quickly because the First Wives Club came out and made millions of dollars because everyone's like, wait, women have feelings about getting divorced? It was like a serious.
Yeah. It must have been like women must have seen that and gotten divorced because of that movie, right?
Probably.
Because watching it, I was like, this is expressing so many feelings that have not been allowed to be said out loud.
Yeah. My parents got divorced around when that movie came out, and I remember my dad like mockingly calling my mom and her friends a lot at the First Wives Club.
I will say that movie, I talked about it in the podcast I did, but it's a really weird movie because they literally use an office for the First Wives Club itself, and they get business cards. And it's like, well, what are you doing? you don't have like a business because they make it into a shelter at the end, but it's like the First Wives Club itself is like a weird. I was like,
Vistaprint.
It's a revenge. Yeah. It's dirty work. It's revenge, but against her ex-husband.
It's just very strange. I was like, why do you guys have an office for this?
You should keep it secret.
It shouldn't be an official like thing on the door.
Yeah. God, I've always loved that movie. It's good.
It really holds up. It was.
It's amazing.
Okay. These are all open to interpretation.
Okay.
Whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
My favorite mansplain.
favorite is a hard word for it.
It's really hard to choose a favorite. They're all just so great.
I was going to say the Gettysburg Address.
I love you, Karen.
Because it's like actually 84 and 7 years.
We know when the country was founded, Abe. God, we all have calendars.
We've been fighting this war. We're aware.
Yeah, don't worry.
We've all been here the whole time.
Yeah. Women have been spies for a long time, motherfucker.
All right. That's the correct answer. Very good.
Yeah.
Perfect. My favorite Karen.
Oh, Carpenter. 100%.
Also correct.
Drummer and a perfect lead singer voice. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Phil Collins wished he had half. I don't know why I'm attacking
him. Why are you dragging Phil Collins?
That's not necessary.
You really
at all.
Went for it against Phil Collins.
Something does kind of bug about Phil Collins, though, if we're honest.
He was such a great representation of like the mid to late 80s. That's what it was like. We were watching small, bald, like male pattern baldness men who were like from prog rock bands.
Yeah.
That was MTV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that was their time.
Was ever adjusted to what a young person would actually want. It was like, it was totally what the 40-year-olds wanted.
Yeah, this is fucked up and I hate to say it, but my first instinct is like, my biggest problem with Phil Collins is his hairline, if I'm being honest. I remember as a kid being like, his jeans suck. And I don't like his hair.
He looks like a dad that would like mansplain to me. You know, he's always looked like that to me. Where I'm like,
Well, it is frustrating because it's like
he's the dad that kisses you really, on the cheek when he
it's
sees
like
you.
You're getting away with this by looking that way when we. It's just as a man, you know.
Yeah,
right. We would not be allowed.
There's no female Phil Collins.
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
Mm-mm. No, definitely not.
Now I'm trying to think of what the female Sheryl Crow,
Phil Collins.
No, she's think like. So.
But she's like she. You know,
I find her beautiful. A little mediocre.
You mean her music though?
No, her music. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but Phil Collins had good music. I actually like Genesis.
No, he's got. He had good music.
Yeah. There is no female Phil Collins.
No.
No, not really.
If there is, tell us.
Let us know.
Please let us know.
Yeah, please.
Rest in peace, Karen Carpenter.
I feel like I should get more into the Carpenters because do you know Louis Fertel?
Mm-hmm.
He's obsessed with Karen Carpenter, and I really trust people that he's obsessed with.
She is the shit. There's lots of things online that are just her isolated vocal tracks, and
they're amazing.
Won't believe it, and they actually have put it against a computer, and the like sine wave of the resonance of her voice is computer matched. Like it was a perfect singing voice in that way, which is so crazy. Well, it makes sense because she was such a type A and like so, you know, obviously.
Right, she was obsessed with it being perfect.
Yeah, she was a perfectionist. But you know, sometimes their music is a little hard to get into because it was very like, oh, you don't want the Vietnam War to happen? Well, listen to this music.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Yeah. It's like, well, definitely like them and the Mamas and Papas are very like comparable to me. And I grew up more listening to the Mamas and Papas. And yeah, it just felt like, okay, this is so stock the 60s.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like Joni Mitchell too, I need to give a chance to.
Ooh, you haven't?
I don't. I like her. But I like don't love her as much as I know I should.
I'll make you a playlist because okay. I think Joni Mitchell can be hard to access because if you go down the wrong path, it's very like pan flute and like you don't know where you are.
There's yeah. That's right. Yeah,
that's follow what I've run a melody. Into too, yeah.
It's more like I'm telling a story of a woman yeah, and a wolf yeah. And you're I was just trying to drive to the mall.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I think just the album Blue to me is the go-to, I would say.
It's an amazing 1,000%. Album, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But it definitely can get a little, like, and then her voice gets pretty fucked up because she's such a big smoker and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. That gets rough.
But just know that she taught herself, with all the guitar that you're hearing, it's her playing, and she taught herself how to play the guitar.
Wow.
And at one point, I think she had some kind of a muscular issue. I don't know if it's muscular dystrophy or some thing. So like mm-hmm. the way she makes chords is she's the only one that does it that way.
That's interesting.
It's she's really fascinating and she's been amazing since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So. I'm on board. Yeah. I just need to listen to the right playlist.
That's all the stuff that you're like, I have so much stuff like that where I'm like, I know I would like this, but I just haven't given it any time.
You need like an intro to a lot of that stuff.
You know what I'm going to say though? I won't get into Riverdale. Everyone who likes Riverdale, I'm not into
it. No.
Don't ruin Archie comics. Go fuck yourself. Make a new show. I'm done. Sorry. People are trying to get me into this show.
No. Brendan loved it, and I would not have expected him to at all.
I get that it's fun trash. It's like fun trash.
Yeah, you probably like it, Babs.
But the thing is, like, I really like the Archie comic books, and I don't need a gritty reboot. Just make a new CW show.
Just separate it from Archie because, like, it's not
Archie. Call it something else. Yeah.
But okay. It's just the names. I mean, it's trash. I don't know.
Did you ever read Richie Rich?
Yes.
I fucking love Richie Rich comics so much. Yeah. When I was little at the dentist, mm-hmm. I would grab like 4 Richie Riches and I would go crazy thinking about how great it would be to be that rich.
Oh,
I would
yes.
just like obsess on it.
Yeah.
While I was at the dentist.
Yeah, it was like Archie with like blank check, just like yes. basically just give Archie a bunch of money.
Seriously.
When they walked around on the Richie Rich's family estate, which was very vast, they would walk in every once in a while. They would like pass a little thing that looked like a mausoleum, but it just had a dollar sign on the side.
I remember that.
Like little mausoleums filled with gold coins on. Like it made me crazy.
It's so insane. Funny. So, I mean, I guess he comes from, obviously his parents are rich. So they were just like, they're like,
he comes from money. He's not self-made. He's Richie Rich. Self-made 8-year-old.
Real bootstrap story of the Richie Rich.
But I'm just thinking about being so rich that you literally name your child Richie Rich.
Can you imagine?
Like, what are we going to name him?
My last name is Rich.
Let's just double up the Rich. Yeah. That's what's happening here.
Let's just be honest with what he is.
My name is Richard Rich. He gets
Dick Rich.
Dick Rich.
Yeah.
Please. Dick Rich. Oh, that sounds like a disease. I got the Dick Rich. I think, well, it is a very like compelling fantasy. I was obsessed with Annie for that reason, for a lot of reasons. But like the idea of living in a mansion as a child.
Yes.
There's nothing better.
Yeah.
It's
and now I'd be like, oh, but how would I like, I don't want to buy too much stuff to fill this up. But
who wants to clean it?
Who's going to Swiffer this?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. As a kid, you don't have to think about the Swiffer.
Yeah.
You never do.
I don't trust a Roomba, so I'm not going to put those in my house.
You don't hear the thing about the Roomba that they're basically recording information of the blueprint of the inside of your house?
Yep.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Why? For who?
I know.
Who knows? That's what we don't know.
I said that. Well, I read that article, and then I said that at work, and then someone goes, "Who gives a shit?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right." I just am ready to get scared at any information that anyone gives me. I'm like, "Oh no, oh wait, yeah, that's."
But then I do worry because everyone's like argument about all this stuff is always like, "Who cares? I have nothing to hide." But I'm like, it can't be good that they know every single thing about us. Like,
I don't think so.
That I feel like that will most likely bite us in the ass.
Well, it's like so if the Roomba tells it to the AI that fucking Elon that's talking to itself. Like the Roomba's like, oh, I gotta get in with these AI robots. Oh, shit. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. I got something to give you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want the Roombas to
Well, and I actually, this is probably really paranoid, but for Handmaid's Tale reasons, I deleted the period tracker app on my phone. Because I was like, I don't need the man knowing, like, what my schedule is.
That's pretty smart, actually.
You know? Because that's free. Any of the free ones, you know they're selling it somewhere.
Yeah. I didn't know there was
Oh, yeah. I live by that shit.
There is, yeah. I thought it was like a version of spell check, like period tracker.
Yeah, yeah. It just
you've got ellipses. A period in there.
Just deletes the extra space between sentences.
The only my only like safeguard that I have is that I'm not on the cloud. That is my only like
What? Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not
You are not on the cloud?
No. Because I
How are you sure?
I'm positive. I'm not because it asked me to hook in there and I never do.
I don't either.
Yeah.
You guys aren't on the cloud? No, because that's why that's where everyone gets hacked and their fucking pictures get taken. That's like my last I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not on the cloud either. Wow. I didn't even know we could opt out of the cloud. I'm full on in the cloud. I have so much cloud storage.
I've been taking so many dirty pictures lately and I'm like I'd be fucked.
No, I give dirty pictures on a USB drive. And I told Sean, turn off the Wi-Fi. Yeah.
And then you don't look him in the eye. I'm like, Sean, look at these on your own time.
It sounds like you exchange them in a parking lot.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
And then someone gets shot in the neck with a gun with a silencer from far away. What happened?
I just swoop off in a trench coat.
I do. What I love is that can't you just pull your shirt up?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you're right there with him.
Well, yeah, that too, but...
I was sexing with some guy recently, and then my phone broke, like, in the middle of it.
Oh, wait, no. We were at Warped Tour in the morning. Is that when... That's when
you were sexing in the morning?
You broke your phone at 11 a.m.?
She gets her shit done. She gets up.
I sent a picture to a guy that morning, in the morning of Warped Tour, and then I broke my phone, and I was like, oh no, my phone's broken. And I had to go get it fixed the next day.
You're playing it pretty cool all day for somebody that had just been sexy.
I have a secret life.
That's right. It's not that secret.
Yeah, it's not that.
It's really not.
I'm so sexy. You have horny mornings. Who has that horny mornings?
That's true. I have horny mornings.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having a horny morning.
At the Warped Tour.
Yeah.
This is pre-Warped Tour. Pre-Warped Tour.
She's like, God damn, these black jeans are making me crazy.
I love all these stick-thin boy legs. Yeah.
But I had sent a picture to a guy that morning, and then my phone, my display died on my phone, and I was like, I have to go get this fixed. And so I was like, oh my God, like there's nothing more terrifying to me than them bringing it in the back and like pulling up all my photos, especially because I had a lot of outtakes that were not good.
Sure.
So like,
you got to delete those.
I know I've got to go. I need a big delete session. Bad. But so like, I was just sitting there watching him fix it. I wouldn't let him. I just like sat there the whole time and watched him fix it. Luckily, I don't think anything happened.
That's gotta be a big perk of working at the Genius Bar. Oh, they probably see a lot of titties.
You gotta see so much.
They see bad shit.
Yeah.
And the iCloud. I mean, working on the iCloud.
I guess I'm just not clear on what the cloud is.
Can I just tell you guys, you have to listen. Have you never heard Louis C.K.'s bit about the cloud?
No.
I don't know if he's ever done it like a thing, but I saw him do it at Largo like years ago where he's talking about now everyone's putting everything in the cloud. Oh, the cloud, this. No one knows what the cloud is, but we're all putting stuff in the cloud. You know what they're going to do? They're going to blocking the cloud until you use $7.99 to get access your shit in the cloud.
Yeah.
And I heard him say that, and then I was just like, I'm never putting anything in the cloud. Like what?
It's funny you mention it because I'm currently paying for cloud access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the trick of it. They tell you have to have it. We don't know anything because none of us
I don't use it because I use Drive for documents.
Is that the cloud?
No. The cloud something is different.
The Drive is cloud-like. It's the same principle.
All right. It's all nonsense.
It's just all in like Silicon Valley, basically, right?
The cloud is?
It's like, you know, the Henry Phillips part that was on the show where he walks them back into the just like football fields worth of big machines?
Yeah.
It's like that's the cloud.
Okay, now where's Google Drive Milwaukee? Like, where's Google Drive live?
It's just that everything on your phone is not going to Drive. Everything on your phone's going to cloud. But on Drive, that's you sitting down and being like, you know, specifically making
It's like
new
an
shit.
External hard drive I store things, versus staving.
I store things. I use cloud to store shit the same way I use Google Drive. I mean, I store a file on the cloud. What's the difference? I guess I just don't understand how anything works.
I think the idea was sold that if you put it in the cloud, it'll always be safe.
Yeah.
But that's a manipulation because no one knows what that means. And then ultimately it's like, well, now we say whether or not you can get to the cloud. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm just using it like a storage space.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do. Most people do. And like a backup.
Yeah.
That completely, I don't see the difference between that and Google Drive or Dropbox.
Because Google Drive is not attached to my phone. Everything I upload on my phone doesn't go to Google Drive.
Everything but it I does upload to the doesn't cloud. Go to the cloud.
Well, that's what, if you're in the cloud, usually that's what it is.
Yeah, a lot of people set it that way. So you're not using any of your phone
space. So it's backing up your phone every second, basically.
I have too many videos. I need them dosed somewhere. I'm on the fucking cloud. Well, I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Start your own cloud.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that? You, get off of my cloud. Karen, my favorite Madonna?
Oh, original Madonna, Lucky Star, first album. Yeah. I remember where I was when I first heard Lucky Star. I was in my Aunt Kathleen, the backseat of my Aunt Kathleen's car.
Aww.
In Millbrae, California. We were driving somewhere. It came on. Me and my sister and my cousin Nancy lost our shit. We all thought she was black. We were like, this really? Is the new... Everybody thought she was black when she first came out before her any videos came out.
Really?
Huh. The singles came out first. And I can't remember if Holiday or Lucky Star were first.
Yeah.
Was first. But Lucky Star, when I finally saw that video, and it's her on the white psych and the two dancers with her.
Yeah.
It was like nothing was ever the same. It was basically the beginning of my adolescence. That's and awesome. It was
you
amazing.
You are so lucky.
Yeah.
I would have like
ground floor Madonna.
Wow. Yep. You got to see Madonna like actually explode into Madonna.
I was like a fan of Madonna when she still had the Detroit accent and she did that thing where she...
Before she turned British many years later.
Yeah. Well, she like went... The first thing was she had this accent. It was kind of like this... right before Desperately Seeking Susan, where she, there was a quote on MTV that they used to replay when they would do like looking back on Madonna, and it's her going, I want to be a star. I wanted to be famous. I work really hard and my dream came true. That's how she says it. And it is fucking hilarious. That's what she started out talking like.
That's amazing.
I work really hard. Like I want to be a dancer. I want to be a star. I want to be famous.
Oh
yeah, that's and not I did really it. A Detroit accent.
And I did
accent.
It.
And I did it.
She did.
Worked really hard and my dream came true.
Matter of fact, she fucking gets it.
I always forget Madonna's from Detroit.
Yeah.
She seems like she'd be like Lady Gaga, like from New York.
Well, she left moved. Detroit. Yeah.
As a teenager, right?
And, went to New York and basically lived that Suddenly Susan lifestyle. I mean, Suddenly Susan. Desperately Seeking Susan. She lived that Brooke Shields lifestyle.
Yeah. That she started working in a magazine.
I'm Suddenly Madonna.
What was Suddenly Susan? It was a magazine, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I get that and Just Shoot Me confused.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both interchangeable.
Yeah.
Very similar.
They love to have like, that's always like when they're like, she has to have a cool job. They always work in advertising or a magazine.
And a loft apartment. That no one could ever actually have.
Always.
Yeah.
The movie Jack and Jill is horrendous for a number of reasons. But one of the main reasons is that like the plot.
Oh God, that Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah.
Oh Lord, the plot I forgot about that.
Adam Sandler's character, Jack, that one, not Jill.
Right, not Jill. Not Jill.
Jack is like a successful commercial producer and like they want to get Al Pacino to be in this commercial for Dunkachinos, which are Dunkin' Donuts Frappuccinos. And the only reason that Al Pacino will do it is because he meets Jack's sister Jill at a basketball game and he's entranced by her. So he's just like, I'm a commercial producer. It's like the most unrelatable plot
of all time.
It's like truly an insane movie because you're like, oh, this is nothing to do with reality. And he lives in like $1 million house and you're like, he's like, I can't get this Al Pacino commercial off the air. Oh my God. It's like truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I've read a couple reviews of that movie that are so fun to read. If you go on to Rotten Tomatoes, the reviews are really satisfying.
Yeah. We went to go see a movie and then we just snuck into it afterwards. So we I forgot what we saw, but we walked out and we looked to our left and there was like a Jack and Jill screening starting and we were like, ooh, I think that's what's about to happen for free. And then we just watched.
Yeah, you're not paying for that shit.
I'd see it no way, though.
No. I mean, it's a hell of a thing. It also ends in like a dance number with Al Pacino doing, I don't want to spoil anything.
No, spoil it.
Al Pacino does the Don Cacino commercial, and the movie ends with the commercial.
Oh, we've seen that. That went pretty viral. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And but the commercial is a hell of a thing.
Is Don Cacino a real thing?
Yes. Yes. That's like their Frappuccino.
So the whole thing was like a commercial for real.
Yeah. It was kind of like when Fred Savage did that thing where they unveiled the Nintendo glove. Mm-hmm. Remember The Wiz?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
like
that for Dunkachinos.
Okay.
That was the unveiling of the Nintendo glove?
Oh, yes.
Oh, fuck.
That's how we found out about the glove.
Like Mac and Me, which was the E.T. version of McDonald's version of E.T.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was related to McDonald's? I don't know any of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to reveal something on Lady to Lady. We need a brand reveal.
Yeah, seriously.
ASAP.
Yes. If you're a brand, let us know.
Local eggplant growers.
Send an email. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really looking to expand.
Yeah. We'll chat you up.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, hit us up with your eggplant. Bye. Hi, welcome, we're Lady to... I don't know what just happened. We're Lady to Lady. Welcome to the back to the show.
Barbara's with the third segment.
Did you get shy?
You're right.
Barbara got shy.
You got this? Let's, come on. You got it.
Well, hi. Welcome back to the show. This is Lady Tilly. I'm Barbara.
you nailed it.
I mean, your face right now, I feel like I just saw what you look like when you were 11.
I
just have this little look on your face like, is that, am I?
I am 11 in my soul.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. This is Lady to Lady. I'm Barbara Gray. We're here with Karen Kilgariff.
Hello.
Tess Barker and Brandy Posey. And we're going to do Lady Pop.
What's going on?
Barbara, what's happening?
All right. We're going to... Let's...
The donut's just hitting.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. All right. Lady Pops, you guys have them. Thanks for writing in.
Send them to ladytolady@maximumfun.org.
Long-time listener, first-time writer. I recently met a great guy. He came to my art show and we just clicked. I didn't get his number, but was walking around after the show and by chance bumped into him. Long story short, I went back to his friend's house with him as a friend. I quit drinking a while back because it makes me sick each time. However, sometimes I will have a small amount of alcohol. This night I had one glass of white wine. I also had a cigarette, which I usually don't indulge in either. I feel you, girl. We are really hitting it off. I go into the kitchen for some water, and he's there. We start talking and then kissing. It's very sweet. I haven't had much physical contact in a while. In the last 2 years, I've had sex twice, both in one-night stand. I'm a survivor of sexual assault and relationship abuse by several partners that took time to heal. Here's the problem. He has the exact same name as someone who raped me in college, a housemate I had for 8 months before I was able to escape. Oh, God. I was happy to look past this, but while we were kissing, it brought back unpleasant memories, and I got so stressed and overwhelmed that I had to stop him and tell him. He actually took this very well. He said a lot of kind and reassuring things and held me close. I felt good. I even told him I'm glad we met because I never thought I would have something positive to attach to that name. But my stress levels were high by admitting that to him. My own family doesn't know I was raped in college by that guy. I have tried to tell my school about it after the fact, and the school therapist didn't believe me. So I figured nobody would believe me and kept it to myself except for a few close friends. Admitting that to him was such a rush and overwhelming. I felt safe to say it, and he had the right reaction. Cue the puking.
Oh, no.
We had to go outside, and I puked all over the sidewalk and all over myself. He had to hose down my pukey legs and feet. I ended up basically immobile as my body rejected everything. Him and his friend made a bed for me on the couch, and I slept on it. When I woke up, he was already gone for work. Luckily, I had the day off. He texted me in the morning, but hasn't been extremely communicative. I want to see him again, but I'm horrified at how that night ended up. After all I've been through, it feels awful that my past is still ruining things for me with the nice new guys I meet. I want to ask him out again, but I don't want to come off too strong and be the insane puke girl. What should I do?
Oh, girl.
I know.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm really sorry that happened to you with your fucking school.
Well, with everything.
Yeah. It's also fucked up.
I mean, I think this guy seems, from all accounts, like a good dude. I would just give it a minute. Maybe give him a few weeks. you know, to like you kind of just get over that, being embarrassed about that, and then say like, hey, I loved hanging out with you. Like, mm-hmm. I'd love to see you again. Sorry about that stuff. You know, it just kind of brought up a weird reaction. I don't drink. And it sounds like it was the booze. And a lot of people's bodies do react like that to alcohol. So it's not that crazy.
I would also say, like, if you can afford therapy, I'm sorry that your school was such a bunch of shitholes about it. Like, that fucking sucks. But, like, I would love, and you're handling it really well, but being able to talk to somebody about it deeper than somebody that you've just met, like a professional that knows how to deal with this, is incredibly important.
Yeah.
And I think that would help a lot with this.
Yeah. And I think all the stakes are high because she revealed this like really big thing to him. So it's like not, I mean, like, I think there could be some like import you're kind of placing on this guy now. Like, maybe it's not really, but it feels like a big deal because you connected with him on this like really deep level. So maybe try to like take a step back for yourself too. Like, this is just a guy you made out with.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it'll go somewhere, maybe it won't. But, like, however that goes has nothing to do with you revealing things to people in the future. It has nothing to do really with anything.
Well, and if she was saying this was the first time that she really told anybody about it, that's humongous. And what happened to her physically from – we don't know. Like, I think Brandy's exactly right. Like, when you get into therapy, I have been in it now for, like, 13 years. And before I started, I thought it would never go. Yeah. Because in my mind, I was like, I have too many problems. I can't get into how many problems I have. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about all of the ideas that we have in our heads is that a lot of times we're wrong. So, like, this idea that you revealed something so traumatic to a person that's kind of a stranger, there was so much trust that you put a lot on the table, you had this physical reaction, it was absolutely, it matched the situation that you had been put in. So don't assume that's going to a happen every time, or that I mean, that guy sounds like he really was a great guy about it, but I would definitely like go search that experience separate from him for yourself before you go in and try to date him again. Go, go, you know, work it out, or at least approach it and like actually have a professional conversation about it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Cause it's like, that's in high intensity, like first meeting with this person that like, you know, you revealed something of yourself, but like, you know, you, that's just a hard place to start from, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, and look, dudes are dudes. Like, who fucking knows? Like, I mean, there's a million reasons why he cannot be texting you back, or who knows what his fucking issue is. Maybe he's been too busy playing video games. Who fucking knows? And like, dick is dick, you know? Like, maybe he's going to text you back. Maybe he's not. Like, try to emotionally separate yourself from like the outcome, or don't be too attached to the outcome with this guy. Maybe you guys will end up going on another date and it'll be awesome. And maybe you guys will end up, just try as hard as you can to not be too attached to it, because I don't want you to like attach
the outcome of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say it's a lot of progression that you told him, that you told someone, and that is a huge step. And you should be proud of yourself for being brave enough to tell somebody that, because that's incredible. And I think, the next step is like finding a support system, like a therapist who may be able to help you talk to your family eventually, and you know, whatever's going to help you the most is obviously like what's important here. And knowing that like there is a guy like this that seemed to like, you know, be comfortable and cool with you, and there are more guys like that, and there are they are out there, and it might not be this guy, who knows, but they exist.
And like maybe his role in your life is to reset that name in your head,
right?
And if that's all that happens,
then great.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it takes a lot longer to recover from something like this than I think you want to, or you think it will. Yeah. And it's very frustrating because you're like, I didn't want this to happen to me in the first place. Why am I even still thinking about it? I didn't ask. You didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. And so, it is like an act of violence that's been perpetrated on you. And it feels like, you know, you feel like the person who did that to you, they're not dealing with it. You are. And so it's easy to like feel frustrated with how long it's taking to recover from it, but like it will eventually become a less severe situation for you. Like, so know that too. Mm-hmm. Like the more you process and the more time that passes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really won't be haunting you like this for forever.
Do you guys think, well, this is probably stupid, but I didn't know if like she ended up continuing things with him at some point. Do you think, I don't know if it would help her to call to like have a nickname for him that isn't that, or if it's like, don't give it that much power, his name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's probably, I think that's convoluted and something to not even think about right now, but.
Well, I think it's a way of, it's like saying this
terrible thing happened to me. This name was attached to that terrible thing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm able to move on with my life.
Yeah.
And to the point where I can reface that same name and understand that different things can happen.
Yeah.
Which is the truth and what did happen, to a point. But it's, she can't grow, or, you know, she can't heal faster than she's healing. So she just basically just learned what that end point was, and that's where she's going from here on. So the point now isn't to get that guy to like her, which is, it makes me think of when I got divorced. The first guy that I went out with after I got divorced, I went so crazy obsessive over him and whether or not he wanted to ask me out and what he was saying and every message that he sent me. And it was all because I didn't want to think about that my entire life had basically caved.
Yeah.
And I was really good at not thinking about it. And the way I did it was I just projected it onto this poor guy who suddenly became this, subject of such intense focus from me, which I mean, and that's just what happens, you know, that because I thought in my head, if I get him to like me and ask me out and be my boyfriend, that it, like, and I honestly believe this, that will fix all these things that happened to me in a 5-year relationship that was very painful.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be that easy and that quick and that fast. Obviously it's not. And the more you try to force things like that, you're like, I was adding shame on top of the pain I already had. You know, we don't get to make up the way things get fixed and then force them into being fixed. Unfortunately, I've tried it 1 billion times.
And you're kind of like robbing yourself of some control by doing that, I think, because you're letting the outcome of someone else's decision affect how you process something.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's so easy to do that with a boy or with a job or something. And it's like, you can't, nothing can hinge on an outsider's decision or actions.
Yeah. Right.
That's not like a healthy, you're totally gambling there. And even if you do get it, that's not going to fix it.
Right.
So like you really, you only have yourself in this life, you guys.
Well, and I think in her situation, there's probably at least one support group near her where she could go. She wouldn't, if she's uncomfortable with talking one-on-one or of talking out loud, I bet you there's places she could go to listen to other people talk about their, the way they healed and got walked through things. And just so she understands, this is, she's so not alone in the position that has been put in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's hard because it's like, I feel like we have such a hard time granting patience for ourselves to get over a lot of this stuff. I know like that's a huge issue with me. It's like, this obviously very different, but like my mom passed away a couple years ago and I released an album on the 2-year anniversary of the day that she died. Cause I was like, I'm taking this day back for myself. And it's like, that was really helpful, but that was like, I still have moments where it's just like, oh, this fucking sucks. And I just have to like extend patience to myself to be like, you're allowed to be sad now. You're allowed to be unproductive. You're allowed to like sit in this and feel this and just grief and like, you know, processing all this stuff is just waves that happens over time and changes you. And it's unfair that it changes you, but that's just the process of life.
But yeah. Allowing yourself to feel stuff, I think, and give yourself some, patience and, relief is like such a big part of getting, eventually getting over the stuff is like, you know what? Like I can sit in this right now. It feels horrible, but like, I'm just gonna like feel it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's absolutely. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
I think once you start doing it, it's like stepping towards healing.
And because it sounded like she did kind of want to talk about dating, you know, like, because it sounds to me like what she's saying is I don't want this thing that happened to me to define every fucking thing I do. In
totally.
Life,
which
absolutely.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And so to that, I would say a realization that I had that really helped me is there is no final chapter.
Yeah.
So if you don't talk to this guy, if he doesn't contact you and anytime soon, that doesn't mean you'll never talk to him again. And that doesn't mean that he won't come back or whatever, but I'm sure it was probably a pretty, you know, a pretty deep experience for him in a lot of ways. So like, if I would just say, don't get the panic of, oh, I just shut that door. It's all or nothing. I have to convince him to like me again or whatever. Just, I would let go of that a little bit and just know that you see people over and over again for the rest of your life. Like there's no, you know, the book isn't closed just because that thing happened.
Yeah. That's something I've definitely learned as I've gotten older. Cause I'm, you know, I'm boy crazy. I've always been boy crazy. But, like, my panic of, like, oh, my God, it all has to happen right now, blah, 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 has, like, definitely gotten better. And it's so much nicer being like, okay, like, yeah, this could happen eventually. This could mm-hmm. never happen. But it's, like, not the end of the world. And just having the patience to kind of handle yourself for a second. And then, yeah, maybe reach out to him at some point when you're feeling a little bit better, you know.
Yeah.
But not, like, it does not have to happen this moment.
You know? And also the reach out could actually be, as opposed to let's continue on doing something, the reach out could be, that was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. Yeah. And you were so great. I can't thank you enough. Like, it could just be the simple conveyance of the gratitude of that she wasn't with some asshole that left her somewhere or, you know, that it was in as bad as that experience was, she just got a little tiny bit of proof that there are lots of decent guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That's worth, you know, that's worth.
Oh God, we need those. So we need those little droplets of proof.
Take it where we can get it. And I always like to say, you know, you never know when one of them is going to worm his way into your heart. So enjoy being single while you can.
I mean, when you're looking for a worm, there's none to be found.
Yeah, so true.
When you're looking for every apple, you're picking it, breaking it in half.
Worm in here.
When you're looking for a worm, it doesn't mean you need to drink an entire bottle of tequila to get there.
For sure.
You definitely don't. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's just like a casual, just like, you know, he met you at an art show. Be like, hey, I have another art show coming up or whatever, you know, like down the line.
I love that too, that he met at her art show.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Send us your stuff. I want to see it.
Make sure that you're in a place where the next time you meet him, there won't be as much puking.
Yeah.
I mean, that should just could be like a personal goal of like, if it felt bad, you know, try to get into the area where it feels bad. And instead of that somebody else is going to make it stop feeling bad. Because I wish it worked that way. I can't tell you how much I wish it worked that way.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
It don't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, no more white wine and cigarettes.
Yeah, that sounds really good right now, though.
Tess is about to go to a wedding.
I love cigarettes in theory.
You're going to have a night of white wine and cigarettes.
I know.
Okay. Well, no cigarettes.
Tess just like put her fingers up as if she was smoking.
I love cigarettes. They just make me feel
so
shitty.
It is really frustrating that they are so bad for you.
Right?
Because I do love them. I wish that they were innocuous. I wish they didn't cause anything.
And we were lied to. They are very sexy.
And
they are.
They look, I don't know why, but they make people look cool and it drives me insane.
Exactly.
But it's like, I hate that they are so terrible. I hate it. I wish they could be fun.
And the smell is the worst.
Yeah.
It's gross.
And
it's
gross. Can smell someone who's like, who smoked a day ago. You can smell it.
Yeah, I really wish that they were like just fun.
Yeah.
But they can't be.
Like vitamin cigarettes. No. Well, and then I bought those herbal ones that I was all high on for a little, and like, who's kidding who? That's not the same. I do kind of want the bad stuff.
Did you get any kind of a drag off of those? Like, do they,
no,
is there anything
that's
like
do
a
anything.
Frozen milkshake? You cannot.
You're just like.
Bust a vein in your eyeball trying to get a drag.
Well, that's the show.
Karen, obviously your podcast is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you
My
kindly.
Favorite murderer.
Thank you so much.
Where else can people find you on the internet?
Just on Twitter.
Yeah.
I had to leave Facebook.
Good.
For my bad behavior.
For your bad behavior?
Did they kick you off?
No.
Karen was tagging people in shoes too many times.
Did you see that thing a while ago where grandparents kept tagging themselves in pictures as Grandmaster Flash? Because they started to write grandma.
Oh, because, it'll just, bring up.
Yep, it would autofill.
That's
and it would, so it'd be like,
love
Cousin Lorraine and Grandmaster Flash are in this picture. That's who's in this picture together.
That's amazing.
I love that.
That's one of my favorite things of the internet.
Oh, that's
what
really I love.
That's what happened the other day, Tess, when you were like Eric DeDorian and it tagged Eric DeDorian's nipples.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know had its own page.
We didn't know, but it was a post about Bruce Springsteen. So I was like, Eric DeDorian's nipples would be interested in this.
Oh, yes.
Oh, very true.
Very much. They're very interested.
Yeah.
For him.
Shout out to Eric DeDorian's nipples while we're here.
We love you very
and
much.
And the rest
we
of
miss your nipples, Eric DeDorian.
We do.
All of you.
He's got a new podcast. Fuck it, we'll plug it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Groomzilla.
It's about groomed to be.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was about male grooming. I gotta hear this.
Well, I mean, probably crazy. Inherently as a as a budding groom.
Yeah.
As a budding groom. I bet
that's a big part of it. Yeah. Right?
You gotta prepare for your groom day.
You got to groom.
Yeah. Eric's got a lot of hair to groom. So
yeah. So good thing he has some time.
Yeah.
Get cracking.
I'll figure it out. All right, guys. We love you.
See you next week.
Thanks, friend.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.